You're listening to the StudyClicks podcast, your number one source for junior and leaving cert tips. We make exams easier.
Welcome back to the StudyClicks podcast. This week we have a very special guest, Cliona Daly. She's our StudyClicks resident Irish teacher, here to help us with all things Gaeilge, Irish, and how to get through the oral exams in particular is what we're talking about this week, because at the time of recording, this is early March and yeah, the exams are coming up at the end of the month. So we're going to talk about how to tackle them, how to tackle the nerves, how to get through the bail trail. And Cliona is obviously the right person to talk to about that. So welcome, Cliona. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me. I'm delighted.
Do you want to tell us quickly a bit about yourself?
Yeah. Sure, no problem. So originally from Kerry, as we were saying a little bit earlier before recording, originally from Kerry, but living and working in Cork now for the past number of years. And I am a higher level Irish teacher, higher level Irish and maths teacher, actually, for Leaving Cert. But I'm also a state examiner with the SEC. So I've been examining Irish orals for the past 2 years.
So definitely the right person to talk to. You've got all the insights, tips and tricks. And Cliona, you also have a podcast as well. So if our listeners want to go find that out.
I do. Yeah, I do. So aimed at the Irish oral, just very small, bite-sized little episodes aimed at Leaving Cert students and the Irish oral. So it's called Daily Dose of Gaeilge, but daily like my surname.
I love that.
And thank you. And so every week I do one SHRAP picture and just one topic for the oral.
That's so good. I love podcasts that are like 10, 15 minutes long. So it's like you could listen to it while you're making a cup of tea nearly and you learn so much.
Yeah, my idea was like something that you could do along with your homework maybe or something that it wouldn't take up an hour or half an hour of your evening. It would just be like a little bit extra to your Irish homework maybe in the evening.
Very considerate of you, Cliona, to students' time. I'll start us off. So I think a good point to always start at when it comes to the Irish exams and kind of knowing where you stand is knowing the marking structure of the oral itself and what exactly, how it's broken up, where did the points go for everything that you say in those 15-20 minutes.
Yeah, no problem at all. So when you first sit into the exam, so the exam is always 15 minutes long. And when you first go in, you go through five short questions, which is called the fall to, or like your welcome, your introduction. Those five questions are worth 5 marks, and it's just simply your name, your date of birth, your address, your age, and your exam number. And that gets you 5 marks just in the beginning. Then the next part is your reading of poetry. And they're the five poems that are on your course that you'd be very, very familiar with at the stage that you do your oral. And reading the poem is worth 35 marks to you. Now, in the past number of years, the next two sections have been swapped around. So up until 2 years ago, it was always SHRAP Pictura next, the picture sequence next, and then your Coraw last. But that has been swapped around now. And the Coraw comes first. The Coraw is the most important part of your oral exam, really. It's worth the most marks to you. It's worth 120 marks and that goes on for maybe about 7 or 8 minutes. That's just general conversation about your hobbies, your school, your subjects, what you'd like to do in college, etc. And then you end on your picture sequence, your SHRAP Pictura, which is worth 80 marks. And again, up until last year, there was 20 of them. But this year, because of the changes that have been made to exams, it's just 10 this year and the students get to pick their own 10.
Wow. I would have liked that back in the day doing it. But obviously they deserve it this year. The smaller choice. It's 20 is always very daunting, isn't it?
Because you just It is. It's a huge number of them to be preparing, really.
Yeah. So yeah, I suppose that's a bit different so to what myself and Nessa would have done. We would have done the Coraw last. And I think back in the day it would have been the advice, or not necessarily the advice, but the thing we would have said is, you know, the SHRAP Pictura and doing the fall to the SHRAP Pictura and the poems first sort of helps ease you into the Coraw then, because you have your kind of, I don't know, formulaic bits done. But I almost think that doing the Coraw first is a bit nicer, because for me definitely the SHRAP Pictura was the scariest bit and the bit I was most nervous for. So I'd almost like to have that done last and have my Coraw ease me into the SHRAP Pictura.
I think the same thing. I think just even from having students in front of me for the past number of years, the SHRAP Pictura seems to be the most panic involved in it. Everybody kind of panics about what traffic door they're going to get and how it's going to go. Even though, like, if you look at the marks wise, the core is worth more. So you'd think that they'd be putting more effort into that. But no, it just seems to be the big panic. I suppose because you can guide the core yourself and talk about what you want to do, but you're not sure of which traffic door you're going to get. I suppose that's a lot of it.
Yeah. And then there's always the dreaded tropic tours. Some are harder than others. Some have way more going on and no one wants to get Timpisht or whatever. I can't remember now which was the one that everyone wants.
Oh, Ahrue Roid is the one they all talk about. That's the climate change.
Oh, really?
Climate change.
Oh, yeah, that one's awkward.
And it's every single year, because on StudyClix we have the tropic tour notes, and I was the one usually doing it every year. And I noticed, you know, the way they swap them around every year, and it's usually kind of like if they have one year, they won't have the next year. But every single year for the last 6 or 7 years, I think they've had it on the course. Maybe I'm wrong, but in my recollection, I remember like,
oh, it's been there. It's definitely been there a lot of them anyway. Yeah.
I'm sure. Yeah. Anyway. So on the shopping tour, so obviously, like you said, you're the examiner, you're on the other side of the students. So I suppose that's probably really good from a student's perspective, because definitely when I was in that position, I didn't see the person on the other end of the table as another human being. It was like this very scary person who definitely didn't understand how nervous I was. And do you have any sort of words of calming words to remind people?
It's funny you said another human being, because like, yeah, definitely another human being. But I think what a lot of students forget as well is an Irish teacher.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
A person. And if I'm sitting examining you, there's 26 students at home in Cork from my class doing the very same thing. And I'm thinking about them. You know, and what would I like their examiner to be saying to them? And, you know, how would I like them to feel when I'm sitting in front of them? So, yeah, but you're dead right. A human being, like, we're not. Everybody always kind of asks me, oh, did you ask a hard question? Did you try and catch her when she had this learnt off? No, not at all. Like, you're there to have a conversation with them. Yeah. And, you know, you're not there to catch them out and to take marks from them. You're there to give them marks.
That's a big thing to remember, I think, for students. And so would you have, like, very very quickly, I suppose, what's running through your mind as the examiner, what to sort of flip the tables a bit? What students obviously know what's running through their minds, and they know the stress and the anxiety, but on the other side of the table, what's running through your mind when you're
I suppose it depends on the student, really. But what I try to get, you know, you always start with your kind of typical questions of, like, you know, where you're from, or you're maybe about your family or your school, whatever. But I always try to get as fast as possible to maybe a pastime or an interest or something that the student wants to talk about. So for me, I suppose my mindset when I'm starting the exam is to find that thing, to find that topic that the student wants to talk about. So then you give them the opportunity to say either what they've prepared or just what they want to discuss.
So you're trying to make them comfortable, basically, as soon as quickly as possible.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah.
I think that's good for everyone to remember, because like I said, it's hard to see the examiner sometimes as someone who's trying to help you as opposed to someone who's trying to sabotage you. So I think that is definitely good to remember. They're there to help you. They're there to calm you down. So don't see these teachers as, see them as teachers, like you said, like not a scary examiner, just
a nice teacher, though.
A nice teacher.
They only pick the nicest. So that's a condition for the SEC. They don't pick you unless you're very nice.
We'll go with that anyway.
Experience doesn't matter, you just have to be really nice.
So we're right in saying, so once you get the fall two out of the way, and that's 5 points, the next thing is the poem, is that right?
Next thing is the poem, yes.
Okay, so what are your tips for preparing for the poem?
To practice it, really, you know, it's kind of the part of the oral that people forget about very very regularly, and they kind of say, oh yeah, that's sure, that's easy, we can all read a poem. But what I always remind students of as well is, in paper two in Irish, the poetry question is worth 30 marks to you at higher level. You know, reading it in the oral is worth 35. You know, it's slightly more. So it's worth, and if you knew all the time that we put into preparing the poetry questions in class, you know, it's crazy to think that there's more
that
going for reading it. To actually, not just for the poetry, but for the whole oral exams, I think recording yourself is a great tip. You know, just even rushing through the poetry is kind of a common mistake that students make, that it, you know, that's nerves is a lot of it, really, but that it would be too rushed. So even recording yourself, you know, listening to yourself back, you can kind of hear, you know, oh, maybe I should have slowed down, or maybe I stumbled over that word, which you wouldn't actually realize all the time if you're just reading to yourself.
Right, yeah, exactly. But like once you have it down, it is pretty easy, 35 marks to get, isn't it?
It is definitely, yeah. It's worth putting the practice into.
And I think a great piece of advice there, I think, is just to take your time and to slow down. Because what my teacher would have made us do is she made us record ourselves reading out each poem and we had to send her the MP3 files. God bless her, like having to listen to 30 students go, Anavime. And, you know, she'd make us, then she'd give feedback and she'd say, no, you have to emphasize the H in that word. You'll lose marks if you don't. And I think, you know, it's things like saying it too fast that'll make you forget the H or not emphasize the I in the tishlgiddeduck in the word or stuff like that, that'll lose your marks. So I think take your time is a big thing there, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And as well, the students can bring in their own poetry sheet with them, and they are allowed to have like little hint, like little highlighted bits, and you know, a H underlined, as you said, or even a word written phonetically over the words. They're allowed to do that, so they might as well.
I was just going to ask because I remember being able to do that. I was like, I hope they haven't taken that away because that's that's a really nice thing that they let you do.
It is, yeah.
Okay, so that's the poetry. It's kind of short, sweet, really. Just read it out. Take your time. Make sure you have your phonetics down. And then, so we're saying it's not Tropic Toward the Next, it's actually Kora, which is now next.
It's Kora now, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that comes next.
And are there kind of, you were saying earlier that you sort of try to bring it to a place where the student wants to go anyway, but would there be other topics that you always try to cover within the 7-8 minutes or?
Yeah, there would be. Now, there's nothing set in stone that you have to ask or anything like that. But just in general, I would always start off with like Inish Thumfu with Fane, just tell me about yourself. And that usually brings students on to maybe their family or maybe school or something like that. So the kind of the general topics that if I don't hear something unusual from a student would be tell me about yourself, tell me about your family, where you're from, your area, your school subjects and pastimes. But along the way, you see, you might hit into a topic that a student really wants to talk about. It might be, I don't know, their favorite book or something, or maybe an interesting pastime they have. And you could easily spend 5 or 6 minutes talking about that one thing then, so you mightn't get to the other topics. But yeah, it does generally fit into kind of the same skeleton, but not always. There's nothing set in stone.
Okay.
And it would always be the student that guides that. It would never be me that comes up with a topic off the top of my head.
Okay.
Yeah, you were saying like you always start off with like this one question. Are you able to say, I suppose it does change often every year and with stuff that's more topical, but what would be the most common topics that do come up every year?
Yeah, so most common topics would definitely be yourself and your family sometimes, but you know, we have to be careful as examiners as well to make sure it's the student that brings up talking about their families, that not everyone is comfortable to do that. Mm. So yourself and your family, your area, your school subjects and pastimes, and maybe what you want to do next year after you're leaving cert. So they would be kind of the basic ones are bun over that you'd kind of always go back to, maybe if a student is stuck or if you want to bring up a new topic, they'd be the only ones. And then you see, you mentioned like topical stuff, even current affairs or politics or anything like that. We'd only ever go for those if the student has told us that they're interested in it. So if they bring up themselves that they're interested in, or that they watch the news every evening because they're interested in it, then you'd go and talk about it. But we'd never bring it up on our own, really. An important thing for students to remember as well, if something comes up that they don't want to talk about, they can just say in Elaine Simigum, Sonoverson, that I'm not interested in that topic. That's perfectly fine as well. You're being examined on your Irish, not on your knowledge.
Yeah. Okay. Exactly.
And in terms of the flow of the conversation, what would your top student, let's say, be? Because obviously it can be two sides. You can have the student who just says, Imerniganun is Sanam Dum, and then it's up to you to ask the next question. But there might be the other student at the other end of the spectrum who's going, Imerniganun is Sanam Dum, is Asbalar Vorna Dum, Talk Huiger and McLeod, blah, 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 and they go on and on and on and on, obviously just reciting everything they've learned off. There's a happy medium, I'm assuming, there.
There is. The happy medium, as you say, kind of the natural conversation is your ideal. But you never penalise a student for having a load learned off either.
Okay.
Now, that would, you know, you'd have to give them their marks, give them their credit for actually saying their piece. Now, you would, because the exam is on a conversation, you can't just leave them off for their whole 15 minutes. You would have to kind of butt in with a question mm-hmm. every now and again. So that's kind of, I suppose, getting them towards your happy medium, as you called it there. But the ideal situation really is a natural conversation. So not the one word answers. That's the worst case scenario. We don't like that situation at all, where it's just one word answers or one sentence answers and you have to keep coming up with more sentences again. So having pieces learnt off, you know, short points or paragraphs may be learnt off, but allowing the examiner to ask further questions on the topic as well is kind of your ideal situation.
Yeah. And I suppose that's a key as well to calming your nerves. If you could, again, like you're saying, just consider it as a conversation. If you want to sort of humanize the examiner again, and it's a conversation, therefore I'm going to treat it like a normal conversation with another human being. And in normal conversations with other human beings, I don't just rattle off words, and I also don't just give one word answers. Try as much as possible to make it seem just like a regular conversation, and that'll help as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Calm the nerves. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to ask actually, and like, I was really grateful for my Irish teacher kind of giving us a list of these, but they're basically just like useful filler sentences that you can, like, while you're thinking and you might be translating in your head, so that to fill the awkward silences. Do you have some good examples of sentences that students can use when they're stuck?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, and like textbooks and books of notes and everything like that will have plenty of those as well. And even the ones, reusing ones that they use for maybe their Cappadoroc, their Ashta or something like that. Like, you know, Erlova 1, Erlova Ella would be a very common one that you'd use for an Ashta. Are the one Iskesht Va'ishin, Hagme Smuina Frishin. there's plenty of them, you know, that in books of notes, as I said, or even their teachers have probably given them out of lots of notes. But my best advice on that would be, again, reusing the ones that they use for other areas of the course as well, rather than having different sets of phrases that they learn off for different parts of the course. You know, if you can reuse as many as possible, it'd be brilliant.
Right.
Yeah, perfect. And like you were briefly saying there before, if the examiner asks you something, because I have this memory of talking about my holidays, and then what the examiner asked, and do you think there is an alcoholism problem in that particular area? And I was like, what? And I didn't know how to answer. But I think like you said earlier, you can completely control the conversation. So you can literally just say, oh, Neil Simigum, Sonavra Shin, I can talk about this. Yeah,
exactly. Or like with that question that you just said there, you could say, oh, Neil Isigum.
Yeah.
Neil Isigum. Because you're not being examined on your knowledge of an area. You're being examined on your Irish. So is there a problem with alcohol? I don't know.
Neil Isigum or Neil Simigum. I took it as a good sign that like he asked me a complicated question, that he thought I was having it too easy, or like that I was showing off too much or something like that.
Yeah, it would be always better students that would get a more complicated question like that. And that is, as you say, it's a very good sign, because that means you're up in the upper end of the marks and you just want to see how far can we actually push this.
That's very good.
Ness is validated.
But again, even that I say that, how far can we push this? You know, saying that you don't know the answer to that question or you're not interested in that topic is not necessarily going to say, oh, no, all that's saying in my head is, oh, well, she understood my question. So maybe I'll ask her a different question.
Yeah, absolutely. That's very comforting to know.
So are there any, I suppose, students who want to know things that they can avoid going into the oral exams? Are there any sort of typical pitfalls?
There are certainly, there's plenty. Probably the number one would be mixing up tenses.
Right.
So, you know, even if you're describing about college next year, that the general one is that people fall back on the I'm sure kata, because it's the easiest one, really. And it's the verbs that they're most familiar with, even maybe from junior cert, where all of your writing was really in the I'm sure kata, that it's what students tend to fall back on again. And they'd be mixing up their tenses then when they're speaking because of that. Other ones would be kind of uncouple is, not using like is thinna, whatever, may, you know, when they're describing people or maybe describing their siblings or describing their family. And a funny one then that actually does come up surprisingly frequently is, so mixing up motto and a, so that would be your adia kelevuk, which is your possessive adjective. So my, your, or his or hers. And quite funny when it does happen, but it actually takes you aback. Like my favorite example of this, it was a couple of years ago. I asked a girl, obviously won't mention schools or students or anything now, but a particular student that was in front of me and was telling me about Ed Sheeran's concert. We were talking about an Ed Sheeran concert, and she said, I asked her, okay, of Lath, who was with you at the concert, and she said, oh, cuig me le do vuchelcara, as she went with my boyfriend. I was like, oh, that's interesting.
He didn't tell me that.
Yeah, it's surprise. It's one that you kind of wouldn't think of, but I think what usually happens with that one is the students kind of repeat back what the examiner has said. Mm. So if I ask them a question with the in it for your, that they would then repeat back to me the.
Yeah.
You know, and it kind of it's a pitfall that a lot of people fall into.
Okay.
So that's a good point to just keep practicing that in the lead up to the exam. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I suppose there's no real way to fix that other than to just learn it and make sure that that's on your regular revision list, I suppose. And shameless plug, you can go on to Study Clicks to find notes and grammar help and things like that, and I would use the internet to your advantage, I suppose, to try and get up to speed with those kind of grammar points. So okay, so I think the big thing, or at least like it still haunts me to this day, the thought of the veil trill and the oral, even though I was grand and I was a very confident student, but like just something, it was the same, the oral exam and the driving test. I think I said this in another podcast that we did on this, but those are the two things that just haunted me for years and years before I did them and still haunt me afterwards, even though I did fine in both. And I think a lot of students feel the same way, that it's just very, very nerve-wracking, and it's something that's sort of built up from when you're in first year. You know, everyone talks about the Irish oral, and you know, it's sort of like this big day where a stranger comes into the school and you have to sit in the cold room. So do you have any tips for avoiding nerves, how to stay as calm as possible, be as relaxed as possible?
Oh, I don't know. Do I? I think it's kind of something that no matter how much I tell my students not to panic about it or not to worry, that and repeating all of the things that I have said here, that it's an Irish teacher, it's a human being. They want to give you marks. They want the best for you. Realistically, that week comes and all my students are panicking in front of me once again. But I suppose all you can do is like do your best, practice as much as you can, use every resource that's available to you, and just try to tell yourself all of those things that they're, you know, the person in front of you wants to help you.
Yeah. And look forward to the exact second that it's over, because it's such a sense of relief. It's, you have such a great evening afterwards, you know, just even if you didn't do well, it's such a relief, and look forward to that.
Exactly. And it goes so quickly, like 15 minutes sounds like
How quickly it went.
It sounds like such a long time, 15 minutes, but once you're sitting in there, it flies.
Yeah, and I suppose the more confident you are going in there, the better. And like you were saying, practice as much as possible. Do you, like amongst your students, do you see any ways that they particularly, or that they would study in particular, that you can kind of recommend to our listeners, core or groups?
It's much more difficult this year, obviously. Now we're doing our best that we're back in school, and we do a distanced paired work as much as we possibly can, but we've been limited this year that even in class we can't do a lot of group work, a lot of pair work practicing. Other years, you know, we would have done like speed dating essentially around the classroom. But we can't do that, unfortunately. We've been doing bits of work on Zoom with breakout rooms and stuff like that, or just doing pieces of recording. And as we talked about recording earlier as well, that like recording is great for me, that I can listen back and give feedback to my students, but it's also really, really good for the students that they can listen back and spot their own mistakes and realize what exactly they sound like if they're reading the poem Gavin at 90 miles an hour. So even with our restrictions and everything has changed now, there is actually some advantages to it as well. You know, I wouldn't have other years used recordings really a lot. I would have just listened to students in the classroom, but I'm finding benefits to it as well.
Okay, perfect. Do you have any general, we talked about this on the podcast before, but you being an Irish language teacher, do you have any general tips for people who struggle with learning a new language, or specifically with learning Irish? Like what are things they can do to help themselves improve their ability?
Listen to it as much as possible, definitely, is because I think with Irish more so than any other language, people try to learn it from just reading or writing initially, mm-hmm. which with a language is not the way to go. So even, you know, things that would be easy enough to understand, even rather than the news going for maybe the weather forecast, you know, yeah. just to give yourself a bit of, you know, you've got the visuals there as well that you might actually understand them, or as we always talk about, there's plenty of videos online or podcasts available that you can be listening to kind of at a lower level than just simply putting on the new Uachtain TG Ceathair, and you know, you'd be listening to really kind of a higher level of Irish then. But and obviously then the other one is if it's available to you to practice with someone, you know, yeah. Even if it's on Zoom or in, I don't know, a choral group or something like that, it is listening and speaking are really, really the way to go when you're learning a language.
Yeah, absolutely. I said this on the podcast before, but I feel like it should be said again that TG Ceathair has a player just like RT Player has, and the greatest TV show in the world, Passion Fashion, is all up there. It's so funny. It's such a good way. Like, I was watching it just when it first came out there like a couple of months ago, and I felt my Irish that I had slowly was losing from not having been in school, like I was kind of getting it back, and I was like, this is brilliant. So, and I like TG Ceathair, I'm not sure, do they still do SpongeBob Osquelga? There's
they do,
so much
and
translation.
Further to that, SpongeBob Osquelga is on Netflix now.
I think that's amazing.
Oh, it doesn't Dathi O'Shea does the voice of someone in it, doesn't he?
You're right. I can't think of who it is actually, but yeah, I did hear that Dathi O'Shea is the voice of somebody in SpongeBob.
Do they is Patrick, or do they change it to Padraig?
Oh, Patrick Starr, is it?
I think he's Patrick.
But Padraig, I'm not sure. That'd be so funny.
Padraig O'Rail.
Because they translated Game of Thrones into Irish, didn't they? And he was Sean Schnachta, Jon Snow.
So, oh, that's so funny.
They tend to kind of change names like that randomly in Irish as well.
But, I love that. That's so funny.
And like, I think something similar to Nessa, so I didn't do the TG Ceathair route, but I was trying to brush up on my Irish again recently, and I started listening to a podcast called Avadan, which I think is just a recording of the, I don't know, is it on TG Ceathair or Radio Na Gaeilge? It's some kind of hourly morning show basically where they talk about mm-hmm. the latest and current events. And I think what's nice about it is they go through the news twice during the show because it's an hour long, so they go through it at the start and again in the middle, and they have news from each sort of Gaeltacht region. So they have someone reading out the news in the north, someone reading out the news in like the Connemara area, someone in the south. So you get, it's great practice. I know we're not talking about the oral test at the moment, but when they get to that point that, you know, you have the different Conúntí, that I think that's a good one
that
to
listen brilliant,
to.
Yeah.
That particular definitely, podcast, if yeah. people want to listen to that as well, that's a good one to sort of train your ear in.
That's one I'll recommend to my own class yeah. now, actually, yeah, because people, they do find that difficult.
Yeah, so... Yeah, I don't think I'm out of questions. Nessa, do you have anything else?
Yeah, I think that's all of the questions I had as well.
Okay. Perfect. Do you have any final pieces of wisdom or anything like that that you want to impart?
I don't think so. I think the big one is the nerves, trying to combat the nerves. But I suppose, as you said, the more confident you are going in, the more comfortable you'll feel, surely. So that can be tackled with practice as well, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I find with anything that I get nervous with when it comes to like a job interview, and recently with Instagram lives that I'm doing on Study Clicks, I get so nervous for those. I find what helps is that just a picturing, like just sitting down and watching TV afterwards, like the evening I'm gonna have afterwards. If I just focus on that, like it kind of actually takes away a lot of the nerves. If that works for anyone as well, I'd recommend that.
Great idea.
Yeah. Definitely. Well, you've been a fountain of knowledge and wisdom, Lena. Thank you so much.
That's very flattering. Thank you.
No, I think genuinely I would have loved to have heard the perspective of the examiner back when I was doing it. I think this will help yeah. a lot of students, I think, to hear your very friendly voice and know that they could get you. Are you doing it this year?
No, this is the thing. No, I'm okay. not doing it this year. Nobody is really examining this year. So how it's going to work this year is students are going into their own school with one of their own teachers, or if the school can't get one of their own teachers, another local Irish teacher. And what's happening is that person is just there to conduct the conversation. They're not examining them. Everything is going to be recorded and sent away for examining.
Right.
Oh.
Okay.
So that's yeah. So and our school have kind of said it should be a teacher that doesn't teach sixth years. So that's the reason that I'm saying it won't be me doing it.
Okay.
But it's just a teacher who's just going to sit there and conduct the exam, but not examine.
Okay. Interesting. I don't know whether that'll make things more nerve-wracking or less. I suppose it's the same, really. But
all my class wanted to know. Now, we're quite big school, so there'd be a big Irish department. All my class wanted to know when I said that is, who's it going to be? Will it be this person? Can it be this person? Can we, if there's more than one, can we pick?
Oh, God.
And then one girl asked me, she was like, and will we get a chance to talk to them beforehand?
Yeah, there's exceptions being made, but not that many exceptions.
No, definitely not.
Yeah. Okay, well, so yeah, the orals are coming up. I think it's between March 26th and April 15th. It'll depend on each student's schools. But that's it. If you have any other questions, you can get in touch with us on StudyClicks. You can email us at info@studyclicks.ie or get in touch with us on our social medias, which Ness is in charge of.
Yeah, so we're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat and TikTok. You can message us on any of those and please follow us for all that good stuff. And you, again, Cliona, do you want to remind us of where students can listen to your podcast or...
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm on Instagram as well as Daily Dose of Gaeilge, but D-A-L-Y, as I said, like my surname. And the podcast by the same name is on SoundCloud, Spotify and iTunes.
Excellent.
Perfect.
So make sure to go check that out if you haven't already. And who knows, Cliona, we might have you on again at some point to chat about more Irish
would love it.
Things. Yeah. And yeah, otherwise, best of luck with the rest of the school year. Hopefully the teaching is manageable and... Yeah, I'm confident that our students or our listeners will have gotten a lot from that. So thanks everyone for listening. Thanks, Cliona, for being here. And we'll talk to you next time.
Gramila Maha got the slán.
Slán.
Slán.